It's in the reach of my hands, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the coil of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman, that's me. Maya Angelou's empowering poem, Phenomenal Woman, celebrates the confidence, charisma, and inner strength of a woman. This poem captures the essence of a woman's empowerment and the ability to make a significant impact in various fields, including politics, through their strength and presence. In a world of politics where battles are fought, emotional intelligence, a strength often sought for women who rise, break through the fray, it's not a weakness but a guiding ray. In the halls of power where voices clash, women with wisdom, their emotions they starch. Not to hide but to wield, to understand and see, emotional intelligence, their potent key. This poem captures the essence of women's empowerment and the ability to make a significant impact in various fields, including politics, through their strength and presence. Emotional intelligence, a tool rather than a bait for weakness for women in politics, is the topic for today. You're welcome. I am Omonike Babatunde. Thoughts are thrown around that women are more emotional than men, and according to WHO, women are known to give their emotion to situations than men, but this has consecutively been a limiting factor to growth and acceptability of women in politics and matters that hold such high esteem. Emotional intelligence plays a pivotal role in building strong relationships, fostering teamwork, and promoting a positive work culture. Leaders with high emotional intelligence are adept at inspiring and motivating their teams, resolving conflict, and adapting to change. And if a leader lacks emotional intelligence, it could have far more reaching consequences, resulting in lower team engagement and a higher turnover rate. Well, where turnover is applicable to workplaces, while in a country, it could result in a massive outflux of the citizens seeking greener pasture. According to findings by Forbes D.B. Bedford, the founder of I Never Worry Consulting and author of 30 Days to Emotional Awareness, he stated that emotional intelligence means stopping your emotions from overpowering your intellect. And while this has been said, a woman in a political seat with a high level of emotional intelligence speaks ease and accountability. As such, conscience comes to play a part. I went to the streets of Kwara to speak with citizens and gentlemen to get their opinion on women executing emotional intelligence as a tool in politics. Right now, I'm joined by a broadcast journalist, Chief News Editor Sani Alausa Issa. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so how do you perceive the role of emotional intelligence in politics, particularly when it comes to women in leadership positions?
Well, I'd like to make something clear about what emotional intelligence is about. I see a lot of people talk about you being able to control your anger. Now, while that is part of what makes up emotional intelligence, it's way beyond that. Emotional intelligence also includes being able to seek support when you need one, being clear on your needs, being able to interact with people, knowing when to talk, knowing when not to talk, understanding, being able to read the room. So there are a number of things that goes into emotional intelligence. It's not just being able to control your anger. So for women generally, people consider women as being emotional. Yeah, being emotional is not a weakness in my opinion. And I think that emotional side of women allows them to have a very interesting perspective in politics, especially when it concerns things that involve the people. Their emotional intelligence allows them to connect more with the needs of the people than maybe for men, that may be disconnected with the reality. So I think it's a plus for women that have strong emotional intelligence to do extremely well when it comes to politics.
All right, thank you. Some persons have argued that emotional intelligence can be a valuable asset in political leadership. Do you agree to this perspective?
Absolutely. Politics is a terrain that requires more than your IQ, for example, or your book knowledge. It requires you to interact with many people, engage, negotiate, lobby, and all of that. So imagine you want to lobby somebody for a cause, and their initial reaction is that is not positive, and you just flare up, or you just think you don't need them anymore. No, for politics, for you to succeed, I think many of the top successful politicians I've seen, you see elements of emotional intelligence. They can be very patient. They can be they know when to concede. They know when to lower themselves just to get what they want, because they know those are the things that would make them successful. Yes, so emotional intelligence is absolutely essential for anyone, or anyone who is interested in politics, or anyone who is currently in politics.
Do you believe that there are challenges or biases that women in politics may face concerning the perception of their emotional intelligence? That is, how can some of these biases and challenges be addressed?
Yeah, I agree. And that perception is not correct. As you have women, for example, who are not emotionally intelligent, so do you have men. So making that stereotype of just being women is wrong. So when people are not emotionally strong, if you have the capacity to help them get emotionally better, it's something you should do, rather than say this thing is just a woman's thing. As I said earlier, women are emotional, but my understanding of women being emotional is not a weakness. It's more of being able to connect with things. You naturally, for example, see if something bad happens, the way a woman responds to it is usually different from how a man responds to it. And the woman connects deeply. I don't know, that's how I see it. So I think those things are strengths. So when you try to stereotype women and say they are being emotional, that perspective from that their emotional side are usually very important in the conversations that you're having. So that's why you see many conversations, many courses about gender equality, female inclusion in politics, because when you strike that balance in politics, you ensure that it's not just the male perspectives that prevail, the ones for women also prevail, and they are also coming from that emotionally intelligent angle. They know how to get things done. The way I see it is that when women want things to be done, when you want to get things done, just go and meet a woman. Especially when it comes to politics. If you are running for an office and women are supporting you, I assure you, you have won.
Okay. All right. And again, now, regardless of gender, how do you think emotional intelligence can contribute to a better decision-making and governance in politics, especially in Nigeria?
So I think this one is for men. I see a lot of people react aggressively, especially when citizens demand for accountability. Some of them think that they are doing citizens a favor. I think more emotionally intelligent people among them understand that it is a responsibility on their part to respond to the queries of citizens. I agree that there are instances where people can be unnecessarily rude. They may not have the good intention to get the right answers from you. When you are a leader, you also have that responsibility to be able to control your emotions. So for every politician, when you are going into public office generally, I think it's an important skill that you must possess, because you are going to deal with people on a daily basis, and those who want to thrive must be emotionally intelligent enough to know how to manage such interactions, how to manage people attacking them, how to manage. You'll find instances where politicians come online and join the bandwagon of people insulting other people and all of that. I know it can be frustrating. There is a lot of pressure when you're in public office. But if more of our politicians are emotionally intelligent, I think they'll be able to listen more and even understand the perspective of the people better than they do. Because with emotional intelligence, your ego is not at play. You acknowledge that you can be wrong. So you don't just think that whatever it is you are doing is right. So emotional intelligence is also inclusive of you being able to lower your ego, admitting that you are wrong, being open to correction, understanding that other perspectives can also make things work.
Okay, and your last word in one sentence, to any lady or any woman aspiring to go into politics in Nigeria?
Don't believe the stereotypes. Don't believe those that say it's not a place of women to be there. I think that's already more than what I said.
Thank you so much. And that's the voice of a broadcast journalist, chief news editor, Sani Alausai. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Monica, for having me.
All right, Mr. Dibala, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
He's a research writer, and today you will be talking more about emotional intelligence of women in politics. How do you perceive the role of emotional intelligence in politics, particularly when it comes to women?
Actually, emotional intelligence plays a very significant role in politics. It is a skill that everybody should have. Every woman in politics should have. So women in leadership positions should have emotional intelligence, because it really helps them go a long way in delivering their duties. And emotional intelligence actually involves understanding and managing emotions. Okay. Apart from understanding and managing one's emotions, you should be able to empathize with other people. Mm-hmm. You should be able to know how people feel, how you can manage the emotions of others too. And this will actually help us to build relationships with all other. And this is a very valuable skill in politics. So for women in politics, emotional intelligence is very, very, very necessary that they have.
And then some argue that emotional intelligence can be a valuable asset in political leadership. Do you agree with this perspective, and what would be your reason for that?
Of course, I agree. Emotional intelligence is a valuable asset in political leadership because it helps leaders to connect with their constituents. So leadership in politics, the politician, who is the woman here, must have involvement with the constituents, that's the people. So emotional intelligence is a valuable asset that will help you to connect, to communicate, to even navigate complex issues, to build consensus with the constituent.
Okay.
So I agree.
Regardless of gender now, so how do you think emotional intelligence can actually contribute to a better decision making and governance in politics, especially in our own very country, Nigeria?
It's emotional intelligence, regardless of the gender now, everybody is a must have for everybody. Everybody should have it. And the key attributes and skills associated with emotional intelligence that will benefit any gender includes empathy. I mentioned empathy the other time, that apart from knowing your emotions, managing your emotions, you should be able to manage the emotions of other people, be able to sympathize and empathize with them. And also, one of these key attributes are effective communication. Emotional intelligence can also be used for conflict resolution. It can be used to build coalitions. It can be used to build consensus. It can be used to even solve a problem that could lead to war, a problem that could lead to crisis. Even in Nigeria, we've seen politicians with a high level of emotional intelligence. They navigated successfully and they had a successful political career.
Have you ever witnessed situations where women in politics have actually used this emotional intelligence to resolve conflict or to build consensus among their colleagues or constituents?
Yes. I have seen and I have read from the books of history. We all know Angela Merkel, who was a chancellor of Germany. Recently, I think in 2020, she retired from being the chancellor of Germany. Angela Merkel maintained composure during the Eurozone crisis, when the European countries was having a crisis in the Eurozone. She used emotional intelligence very well. She's a politician, a woman leader with so much emotional intelligence. And also, even in Nigeria, we remember Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. She was a one-time minister of finance in Nigeria. She is now the present president of World Trade Organization. While she was the minister in Nigeria, Nigeria was so much indebted during the regime of Obasanjo. That means she went out of her way. She went out of her way to make sure that Nigeria reconciles her debt with the international organizations. Nigeria was owing so much debt, but with emotional intelligence, she was able to navigate through that phase. Nigeria would have been in a very big crisis then, if not for Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, who had a very admirable emotional intelligence skill. She helped the whole country not to go into a financial crisis, and she even saved the administration of the president, the then president Olusegun Obasanjo. So I have seen and we have read. We have them all around us. We have women, even those that are not opportune to have their face on print and on media. We have them a lot in Nigeria that employs emotional intelligence into play.
All right, thank you so much. Do you believe that there are challenges or biases that women in politics may face concerning the perception of their emotional intelligence? How can these challenges be, or these biases, how can they be addressed?
Of course, there are biases against women in politics. Once upon a time in Nigeria, we see women who involve in politics as harlots. We see them as people who are not married. So there are biases when it comes to women in politics, and these biases can impact the perception of the emotional intelligence. So it takes a strong woman, it takes a strong politician not to allow all of these biases to get to her. It takes a lot of discipline and emotional intelligence not to allow these biases to weigh you down. There are so many politicians who have started. We all remember the case of Mama Taraba in Taraba State in Nigeria. This woman was fearless, and she was the first female to contest for the seat of the governor in Taraba State. There are biases against women so much. There are biases against women. Addressing these challenges will help us to promote diversity and challenge. Politics is not for the male gender alone. Women can also join politics. Women can also be in charge, regardless of the biases, regardless of the challenges, regardless of the insults, the stereotypes thrown at them. Women can also overcome these biases and stand strong.
And what would be your words to any woman, or any woman in particular, that is aspiring to probably go into politics in Nigeria, not just in Nigeria alone, all over the world, that might actually want to go in politics at any point in time?
The person should be ready to face challenges. The person should be ready to face confrontations. So the person should be ready to face all of these things. And whoever that wants to go into politics should be strong and improve on his or her emotional intelligence, particularly to the woman. The woman should improve on her emotional intelligence.
All right, thank you, sir. I'm really grateful.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me, sir.
My pleasure.
All right, so how do you perceive the role of emotional intelligence in politics, particularly when it comes to women in leadership positions?
When you are talking of emotional intelligence, it's not peculiar to women. I think it's to everybody.
Okay.
One way or the other, every human being is emotionally moved one way or the other.
Okay.
Especially when it has to do with issues that are of sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So, but when it comes to women, a lot of people believe that because they say women are weaker sex.
Mm.
But to me, I don't think women are weaker sex. Mm. The only thing is that each has its own responsibility and it has its own duties. And based on the responsibility and duties, God created each person with a certain thing.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
A woman is to bear a child. So obviously, they have things that has to do with reproductive and be able to pull. It's just like a land. Mm. You understand? When you want to plant anything, it means you have to prepare the land, make the land good. So God prepared women for the role they have to play. They are also teachers. Because a woman is supposed to train the child,
mm-hmm.
while the man is to be the guardian. What do we mean by emotion? That is, we are being carried away by sentiments. Sentiments could come out of love, out of fear, out of care,
okay.
and sometimes even out of religious, out of belief, then out of feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things come up into what we can call emotional intelligence.
Oh.
Now, bringing it down to women, generally, women are a little bit more emotional than men.
Okay.
Because women, by nature, are being affected by what they hear.
Okay.
And what they feel.
Okay.
But men are mostly affected by what they see.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
How they use it. And that is why sometimes we look at men that they are more fitted to leadership than women.
Okay.
But both of us have emotional feelings. the emotional feeling of a woman for care may even put them in a more in a better position in terms of when it comes to political leadership.
Exactly. That leads us to the next question, sir. That's talking about how some persons actually argue that emotional intelligence can be valuable asset in political leadership. Do you actually, it seems you agree with this perspective, and why do you agree with it?
To some level, I think I want to lean to the positive aspect of that. Because you see, the major thing in political is taking care of the citizen.
Mm-hmm.
We want the citizen and the country to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if you have the feeling of caring, of taking care of ensuring that people have the impact of certain things,
mm-hmm.
it will be of benefit. But a person who is going to use that as an emotion
mm-hmm.
must also be able to combine it with what we can say factual things,
mm-hmm.
things that are realistic. So it is emotion that generates in you the feeling of care for the citizen,
mm-hmm.
the feeling of care for children.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because there is no enough school, so the parent could not send them to school, or maybe there are enough school, but they don't have the facility, they don't have the money, the cost. So you now start looking at the site. Is that common to that to them in that area? Why is it so? In order to avoid this, can we make education free? You understand?
Yeah.
Do we subsidize education? You know, you are now looking, using emotional intelligence positively
mm-hmm.
towards ensuring the growth and development of an area.
And do you believe that there are challenges or, let's say, biases that women in politics may face concerning the perception of their emotional intelligence? And how can these challenges be addressed?
Yes. See, generally, especially in our own time here, the feeling, and I think throughout the whole world, is that people believe that when a woman is somewhere, they are easily carried away by emotions, feelings, you understand?
Yeah.
So, and for that reason, we feel that if you give the woman opportunity to do this or that, that you may not be able to do it well. You may not. But the truth is that when you look at the men, women in positions,
mm-hmm.
you'll have seen that a lot of them have performed very well.
Mm-hmm.
If I can give an example, mm-hmm. we have of the late Dora Akwili.
Yeah.
She's a very good example of a woman who has used her emotional intelligence to achieve a lot of things in politics and positional power.
Okay.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
She used the same thing when she was not that director. When she became minister, you know, she was the first one who felt that, you know, if she just felt that anywhere, why should in Nigeria or Nigeria look up, you know, with the feeling of failure that then we need to rebrand.
Mm.
You know, she started the rebranding issue for Nigeria.
Mm.
And for instance, is this woman from Federal Character, Dan Kaka. You can see this, the way she was going about challenging, even though she is facing challenges, the way she's facing that challenge, you can see some emotional feeling in her. But at the same time, as a woman, you can see the way she's fighting all these obstacles and the way she's carrying it all along
mm-hmm.
with it. You can see the feeling in her. But at the same time, you can see the urge to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what women are generally made of. Out of all the women, at least the start counting women that are work. We have Kojo Weiler, we have Dr. Usman, and so many. You can see, out
mm-hmm.
of all of them, you see that you can only see one or two pockets of them that behave like this.
Mm-hmm.
Majority of them have been able to work and do their job much, much more better.
Regardless of gender now, how do you think emotional intelligence can actually contribute to better decision-making and governance in politics, especially in Nigeria?
You see, emotional intelligence, is generally when you see somebody suffering, you understand?
Mm.
It arose in you some emotion. So, that emotional feeling,
yes.
with your intelligence, you start questioning certain things.
Mm.
Why will it be like this?
Hmm.
Then you become factual. Why? What is the reason for them? Is there any way we can solve this problem?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way we can? So if we start using that emotional intelligence from that angle, you see that a lot of problems will be solved. You understand my point?
Yes,
so I think emotional intelligence, if properly used, can make us more positive, more diligent, more committed to ensuring that people in the country, particularly Nigeria, are able to feel the dividends of democracy and make people, I mean our leaders, more committed and have the feeling that no, I must develop this country for the ease and for betterment of the country. I think it is going to be a great thing if it's used.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, sir, for granting me time to talk to you, sir.
It's my pleasure.
Let's take a look at some of the list of some prominent women in Nigerian politics and how they have showcased their emotional intelligence as of 2021. Ngozi Okojo-Iweala, a renowned economist and former finance minister of Nigeria. Ngozi Okojo-Iweala has demonstrated emotional intelligence through her diplomatic skills in international politics. As a Director General of the World Trade Organization, WTO, she has used her ability to build consensus and foster collaboration among member nations. Amina J. Mohammed, currently the Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations and Chair of the United Nations Sustainable Development Group. Prior to her appointment, Ms. Mohammed served as Minister of Environment of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, where she steered the country's efforts on climate action and efforts to protect the natural environment. Amina Mohammed has displayed emotional intelligence through her diplomatic effort on behalf of Nigeria and the United Nations. Her roles involve negotiating complex international issues and building partnership. Folake Sholanke, she was the first female senior advocate of Nigeria SAN and the first female to be appointed as a senior advocate of Nigeria. A calm and composed demeanor in the legal profession showcased emotional intelligence and resilience. Dora Akuili. The late Dora Akuili served as the Director General of the National Agency for Food and Drug Administration and Control, NAFDEC, and as Nigeria's Minister of Information and Communications. She used her emotional intelligence to engage with the public, addressing issues such as counterfeit drugs and improving Nigeria's image. Obi Ezekwesili, as a former Minister of Education and a co-founder of the Bring Back Our Girls movement, Obi has shown emotional intelligence by advocating for girls' education and demonstrating empathy for the families of kidnapped girls in Nigeria. Bola Shagaya, a prominent businesswoman and philanthropist, Bola Shagaya has used her emotional intelligence to engage with various stakeholders and contribute to charitable causes. Saratu Aliyu, as the National Coordinator of the African Youth Union Commission, Saratu Aliyu has demonstrated emotional intelligence by advocating for youth empowerment and inclusion in Nigerian politics. Sarah Jibril. Sarah Jibril is a Nigerian politician, psychologist, social reform proponent, and philanthropist. She is known for serving as a special advisor to President Goodluck Jonathan on ethics and moral values and for advocacy of the emancipation and empowerment of Nigerian women and children. Sarah Jibril etched her name in history by becoming the first woman to contest the Nigerian presidency. Toyin Saraki, as the founder of the Wellbeing Foundation Africa, Toyin Saraki has demonstrated emotional intelligence through her work in maternal and child health, engaging with vulnerable communities and advocating for improved healthcare. These women and many others, but to mention few, has displayed emotional intelligence in various ways, including the ability to connect with constituents, build alliance, negotiate and address critical issues. But please note that the political landscape has evolved since, but this is just to mention a few of these names. Looking at the bright side of women in politics speaks ease in the mind of an individual. Take for instance, a child of both gender finds solace in the bosom of their mother. So why would such a child grow up to find it bothering to put such an individual who brings solace a position that holds the pillar of a nation standing? In many societies, women are relegated to roles as wives, mothers, and caregivers with limited opportunity for public participation or political representation. Even in societies where women had greater access to education and economic opportunities, they often faced gendered stereotypes and discrimination that limited their power to rise to positions of power. Despite these challenges, women throughout history have sought to wield power and influence in various ways. Some have done so through behind-the-scenes maneuvering, using their influence through personal connections or informal networks. Others have challenged gender norms and conventions, pushing for greater gender equality and advocating for women's rights. I am Omonike Babatunde, and you're listening to Emotional Intelligence, a tool rather than a bait for weakness for women in politics. I spoke with some of the political leaders who gave us their challenges, reactions to demeaning words, and their take on emotional intelligence being a tool to being effective as a political leader compared to it being used as a term for weakness. The youngest politician in Kwara, who is representative of Owode Onire constituency, is with me, and we spoke more.
Thank you so much for granting me audience, Ma. So I'm going to start with the first question, which is, how would you define emotional intelligence and why do you believe it's important in the realm of politics?
Firstly, my name is Rukayat Mutora Eshutu, member representing Owode Onire constituency and also the chairman of House Committee on Youth, Sport, Information, Culture and Tourism. Back to your question, what I really understand about emotional intelligence is about how you manage your own emotion and that of people around you. And when it comes to politics, even outside politics, life generally, you can't decide for other people. You can only assure yourself and decide for yourself. So we should put that situation. You can't say, this is what I want, this is how I want it. You can only influence it. So in some circumstance, you will have them not doing what you want or not falling as you want it. So it is about you manage it and believe that we can always win later, not always.
Yeah. All right. And can you share specific examples of your, from your political career where you've utilized emotional intelligence to build relationship and probably navigate some challenging situations?
Yeah, basically there are some ups and downs, especially during the campaign and election. You have some certain people, like some people who come out plain that we are not with you and we are not going to vote for you. But are they really a bad person? To me, no, because that's their own opinion. That's what their own view. That's what they see. So to me, I don't need to fight them. Rather, just to manage their emotion, not seeing them as a bad person. But before you know it, with the kind of relationship, with the kind of being accepting criticism, so you later see that these people might later be your friends and associates. So there is no enemy in politics. Everybody counts.
In a male-dominated political landscape, how has emotional intelligence empowered you to exert your presence and influence our policy decisions?
What I can say about that is being constructive really helped. Whenever you want to put things down, you don't just say it. Sometimes you don't need to say it the way it is. You just have to look for appealing and some suitable words to present things. So sometimes it's not because the information is wrong, but sometimes it might be because how you put it out. So when you know how to manage human, like people around you, you will go a long way. They might not do what you want always, but if you can manage people very well, you will have so many things achieved.
And how do you handle criticism and negative feedback, especially when it comes to women in politics, because there are so many biases and the likes? So how do you handle all this?
Negative feedback, to me, is part and parcel of everything about life. Like, you see some people that will commend you for the steps you made. You see some people saying no. Okay, for example, when I started this market palliative, I'm from a rural environment. So I decided to, before the federal government rice palliative, so I've been on this market palliative just to token. I went to market by myself. I travel down from Ilorin to my constituency to some market places. But I focus on this mini market because hardly you will see people patronizing what they are selling. It's just within themselves. I went there and I will just ask. I'm not buying anything actually. I will just go to them, just with them, talk with them. How are they feeling? How is this subsidy affecting their market? Because, you know, even there is this particular man selling corn and all what he has is just 2,000 naira. So from there, give him some people 5,000. It depends on how their business is. Giving some people 10,000. So it's just like that, 5,000, 10,000. For about close to 150 people in a market, the least of it is maybe 100 people. Some people will come, like before that, I know some kind of criticism I've heard, like, no, this, you just have to do it through political gladiators. You know, but sometimes I just feel like going through third party might not get the result that I want. But me giving them directly, like, this is it, it helps a lot. So I achieved my aim. I know the kind of comments that I heard before I commenced on that policy, and I know the kind of comment I got after I started. So it is, you just have to have a good intention and be informed about whatever decision you are making, because if you are not informed about your decision, like, people will be able to convince you. Yes, you can listen to people. It is very okay. Listen to people, hear their own views. But you also need to ask something, substance, so you'll be able to check. And if this is okay, if their opinion is okay with what you are, fine. But if it is not okay, check and recheck. Like, so what I did, even as at last week, I'm still hearing from some feedback like, honorable, thank you for coming. Like, our market, we started having more crowd in the market after your coming, after your visitation, you know, all of sorts like that. It's very, very encouraging, even to me, that even it's my money. So it's not any empowerment money receiving that I received from anywhere. It's just my own personal money. So I'm glad for that. So people will criticize what you have. It is just for you to have your own substance as well.
And the question I want to interject the other time was to ask about, would you say, probably because you're a woman, because there's this saying that women, they have more empathy when it comes to people, and that's what makes them, that will make them thrive in politics. So would you say probably it's the emotional intelligence now that comes to play at that point in time of you being able to relate to all those marketers?
Yes, I think one of these, the empathy that you mentioned, you know, women, nature, we are appealing nature. Majority of people, the largest percentage of the gender, I mean those that occupy the most places, is women. I'm not talking about politics, but when you look at even the voting system, the population, you have women more than. So women seeing someone who is of their gender, of the same gender, they find it more appealing. They can easily go to that person than men. Okay, the kind of thing I'm doing, I'm introducing, I can say, basically, we are seeing force of this kind in my constituency because I make myself more available. Especially, I can go anywhere, I can meet anybody. So, and I find it interesting as well.
I think I'm a testifier to that because you granting me this opportunity to interview you is a great one. Thank you so much, Mark. And again, now, how do you see the role of emotional intelligence evolving in the future, that's in Nigerian politics, particularly for women in leadership positions?
Emotional intelligence is very, very important in whatever we want to do as a human being, because I said something at the beginning, you can't always win. You might put all your effort in something and yet at the end of it you might not achieve the result that you want. But the emotional intelligence comes in that regard, that you will be able to manage. Okay, from my own instance, after the primary election, I was taken to court. It's from the three phases, from the Federal High Court to the Appeal Court to the Supreme Court. So at the Federal High Court, I lose. So I had to, it's not easy when Yes, my name is my name happens to be the one on the INEC list. But still, seeing myself, like court has already said I did not want the election. I never relate. But it's not that I have that so much power. Like I have so that I don't feel weak. Yes, I feel weakened at a point, but I try to encourage myself. I try to drink a lot of water to a lot of issues, I must say, because we actually want to inspire people. So we shouldn't expect it so easy. It will never be easy, I must say. It will never be easy, but you just have to know how to grab things. Like, you must accept it willingly, not forcing yourself, because if you force yourself to do it, you will enjoy the moment. But if you willingly, like, enjoy whatever comes in, you will enjoy nature without so much headache.
Thank you, ma'am. Then, are you faced, at any point in time, faced any gender-related challenges or biases related to my emotional intelligence in your political career? And how have you overcome it?
Not really, because, you know, in Kwara State, the atmosphere is already advocating for women, so we don't really find it so difficult to sell ourselves. So there's no tangible challenge that I can take. It's because I'm a woman that I'm facing this. So there's not.
Yeah. And then what would be your advice to aspiring female politicians who are hoping to become great someday like you?
Well, my little advice for aspiring young politician like me is remain focused, let's be patient, and let's be committed. So with these three, patient, focus, and commitment, we will get a lot of things done.
Thank you so much, Mark. I'm really grateful.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your time.
In conclusion, the evidence is clear. Emotional intelligence is a powerful tool, not a weakness for women in politics. Through a nuanced exploration of the experiences and achievements of women leaders, it becomes evident that emotional intelligence plays a pivotal role in their political careers. Women who embrace emotional intelligence are not merely surviving in the often challenging worlds of politics, they are thriving. They leverage their capacity to recognize, understand, and manage emotions, both their own and others, to build relationships, forge alliances, navigate conflict, and drive meaningful change. Their emotional intelligence equips them with the ability to connect with constituents, colleagues, and opponents on a deeply human level, transcending traditional gender stereotypes. And that's it on Emotional Intelligence, Ours Too Rather Than a Bait for Weakness for Women in Politics.
A big thank you to Honorable Rukayat Chitu, Oladipo Bashir, Sonny Alausa Isa, and to Ajibola.
I am Omonike Babatunde.
This story is part of the African Women in Media, Luminate Young Women in Politics program.